Once again, Paul Harris on KMOX.
3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Discovery, beginning America's new journey to the moon, Mars, and beyond. And the vehicle has cleared the tower.
That was at 9:39 Central Time this morning. America returning the shuttle to space after 2.5 years of nail-biting and problem-fixing at NASA after the disaster of the Columbia reentry, deaths and destruction and all of the stuff that NASA had to figure out how not to have happen again. And thus far, after just a few hours, it looks like things are okay, but there are some questions about it. And here to help me figure some of that out is Phil Plate, who calls himself the bad astronomer, but is actually a very good astronomer. Phil works in the Department of Astronomy and Physics at Sonoma State University, part of the Cal State system, and has been on this show before, most notably a few years ago, to debunk that nonsense that Fox was spewing about the moon landing and the hoax garbage that was going around at the time. So I'm happy to have him back on the show to talk about real space achievement here today. Hello, Phil.
Hi, thanks for having me on again.
It's my pleasure. So are you a happy astronomer today?
I sure am. It's always nice when there's a successful, smooth launch like today, especially with all the problems that have happened before.
And when we talk about a smooth launch, I got to ask you about what people are buzzing about now. A couple of pieces of debris that apparently fell off the shuttle. What do you know about this?
Yeah, well, as most people here will remember, of course, Columbia was hit by a little bit of foam that came off of the orange tank. That tank on the outside of the shuttle holds the fuel for the orbiter, the space plane part of it. And when that foam came off, it hit part of the wing, broke a hole in it, and then when the shuttle was reentering a week and a half later, the hot gas, as it compresses the air, it gets very hot, burned through, and Columbia fell apart. So NASA, of course, is very concerned about foam coming off of the tank. Well, when the solid rocket boosters, the two white rockets on either side of the tank, disengaged, the video shows very clearly something coming off of the orange tank, most likely foam, hard to say right now. NASA engineers are looking at it. In the video, you can clearly see it's missing the shuttle. It's known that foam and other things come off of the external tank when the solid rocket boosters come off because it gets jolted. It's usually not a problem. This is a different stage of the game than when the foam hit Columbia. But, of course, NASA is investigating this. They have this thing watched six ways to Sunday. They have airplanes that were flying around. They have ground-based telescopes. They have cameras mounted on the rocket itself. And they have lots and lots of video to look at. And they're going to make really sure things are okay before they let that shuttle come back in.
But I got to tell you, Phil, I was a little surprised. 2.5 years have gone by. It's all supposed to be about safety. Why is anything falling off the shuttle?
Well, there's really nothing you can do about it. What you can do is, I'll back off a little bit and say that space travel is inherently risky, and things are going to happen, and you're trying to get something extremely heavy into orbit. And short of encasing the entire shuttle in lucite, there's no way you can prevent everything. So what they can do is minimize the risk and try to make sure that if anything does fall off, as it might, it's going to happen at a time and a place when it's not going to do any damage. And I think, now of course I'm not a NASA engineer, but I think that's the thinking that's gone on to this today.
You talked about all the cameras that were watching this from every conceivable angle. One of the coolest things I've seen, and I grew up during the space era of the 60s, following things from Mercury to Gemini to Apollo to Skylab and onto the shuttle program. One of the coolest things I've ever seen took place this morning when they had a camera mounted on that giant fuel tank, and as it separated from the shuttle, we actually got to see not only the curvature of the Earth in the background, but the shuttle flying away as this giant tank plummeted back to Earth with its camera on board, and we were viewing the whole thing. How cool was that?
That was so totally cool. It completely rocked. I was surprised by that. I wasn't expecting it, and we were watching it this morning live. I was watching with my daughter and my nephew, and when the orbiter disengaged, that was just excellent. And this is a relatively new thing. NASA's and other space agencies have been putting cameras on board rockets, but it's been relatively recent that they have been doing that live and putting basically, you know, what are essentially webcams on these things. And a lot of the previous launches, you can find them on the web. The videos are there. And some of the launches are pretty interesting. You can see, for example, there are Delta rockets, which have little strap-on boosters in the bottom, and when those things tumble away, the video is really dramatic. So that's really cool. And another thing that NASA has is a camera on board the shuttle arm, the Canadian arm that they put on there, the robot arm. There's an extending boom that they're going to mount up, that is mounted on this thing with a camera on the end. And once they're on orbit and everything's okay, they're going to extend this thing and inspect the wings and the underside, the belly of the shuttle, make sure that everything is okay. I expect they'll see some tile dings. They usually do. They're not dangerous. There are only certain parts of the shuttle where a ding is bad, and that's only happened, as far as we know, once on Columbia. So we're, you know, kind of hoping that everything's going to be okay tonight.
Phil, when the launch was just seconds old, the mission control guy said, on to the moon, Mars, and beyond. Are we going to the moon and the Mars and beyond in my lifetime?
Well, I don't care about your lifetime. I hope we do it in my lifetime.
I'm not that much older than you.
I'm hoping so. I remember the Apollo launches. I was a kid when Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon. I watched Apollo 15 lift off when I was a kid in Florida, and that was something I have never forgotten, even though I was 6 years old.
Were you actually there?
Yeah, I was on the beach there about 5 or 6 miles away from the launch.
I'm so jealous. I've never been to one of those. I always wanted to.
And I saw actually a shuttle lift off a few years ago when I was working on a Hubble Space Telescope camera. I watched the shuttle go up with that camera on board. I was about 5 miles away, and that was, and that's an astonishing thing to see.
Mm.
And to actually go back to the moon, I think, is a tremendous task, a tremendous goal, and something really worth doing. The Apollo program was hotly debated back then. A lot of people still debate whether we should have done it or not. It was done for all the wrong reasons. It was political. We had other issues going on. But on the other hand, years later, the legacy of it is the inspiration that it has given to so many people, including me. And you can't put a dollar value on that. And some people say, well, yes, you can. And then I say, well, the amount of money that we invested in Apollo has paid back 7 times over from studies I've seen, which means that the money that we've invested in space has been an investment. It has not been throwing money down into a pipe dream. So going back to the moon, I think, is a good idea. And it looks like NASA is serious about it. We're going to be launching a rocket, a probe, called the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter in 2008. And this thing is going to be able to map the surface of the moon. It's going to look at potential landing spots, as well as doing some other different types of studies of the moon. And that's just the first of a series of probes, which is going to culminate in putting people back on the moon, we're hoping, by about the year 2014. So if you can hang in there for 10 more years, you may see it again.
I think I can do that, but what about Mars?
Well, Mars is tougher. It takes about 3 days to get to the moon through a rocket. That's about how long it took the Apollo astronauts. Really, that's about as long as it takes, no matter what you do. No matter what you do, Mars is about 6 months away. Now, if we have nuclear propulsion, much faster, much more powerful rockets, it still takes weeks and months to get to Mars. It's just a long way off, which means you need to carry water, you need to carry air, you need to carry food, you need to make sure that your crew doesn't go nuts trapped into a tin can for that long a time. You have to worry about the sun having a solar flare and flooding these guys with radiation. There are a lot of issues going to Mars that you don't have to worry about so much going to the moon. And then once you get there, you got to worry about keeping them alive and getting them back. And these are engineering challenges that we don't know how to solve yet. Well, and by we, I just mean people. I don't speak for NASA, and I want to make that clear. But it is being worked on. People are thinking about it, working out how to do this kind of stuff. The Crew Exploration Vehicle, which is the next series of rockets to replace the shuttle and to put people into orbit and into the moon and to Mars, are being designed with this in mind. And we're hoping that in the next couple of years, this kind of stuff will be more than just pipe dreams. It'll be people cutting metal and making these things.
Two other things that occurred to me today as I was watching this, and as a longtime space junkie, I just loved seeing it. I recorded it for my kid to see when she comes home from camp this afternoon. Most people who I think were watching this thing, and most of the reason why the cameras were there, sadly, is because of Challenger in 1986 and Columbia 2.5 years ago.
Sure.
They wanted to see it if it exploded, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's just sort of human nature, I think. We want this thing to go well, but you're not always sure if it's gonna.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say they you know, people watch race cars just to see if they're gonna crash or not.
Mm.
And in the public's eye, most of the public doesn't even know that a shuttle is up until something goes wrong. I mean,
right.
People knew that Columbia was landing when it crashed. So I think that's just human nature, but I also can hope at least that most people were happy that this was a successful launch. There aren't going to be that many more launches of the space shuttle. I think the number is 15, and the last one will launch probably in the year 2010, and hopefully by then we'll start phasing in this crew exploration vehicle, and we'll have manned flights a couple of years later.
And the other thing that occurred to me is how happy I am that it's not a big deal that Eileen Collins was the commander of this space shuttle. Because there was a time when, you know, the Sally Ride era, a woman is going to be up there going into space. Now we've got a woman in charge of the mission.
That's right, and she's commanded before. She's very cool under pressure. I like her when they interview her. She's very cool about all this. It's not a huge deal that she's a woman. I mean, when Sally Ride went up into space, that was a big deal. It was
right.
The first American woman. The first woman to go into space was a Russian woman, Valentina Tereshkova. And the Russians made a huge deal out of that. But really, how is that any sort of accomplishment? They just stuffed somebody into the capsule and launched her up into space.
Right.
So it wasn't really a technical innovation. It was a political one. So one can hope that over the years, people will realize there is no difference technically or politically or anything with having women in space. It's just it's always been sort of a stereotype that it's not just men, but white men going into space. And so if somebody who doesn't look like John Glenn or Neil Armstrong gets into the shuttle, it's hopefully we've seen it enough that it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Got a lot of people here in St. Louis who are happy for Eileen Collins because she got her education at Webster University right here in town. Yes, she did. Phil is at Sonoma State University, but you'll be able to find him a little bit easier by going online to badastronomy.com, where you'll find his website and his blog. And if you're going to be in Las Vegas towards the end of January, join Phil and me at James Randi's Amazing Meeting 4, which is going to be a terrific meeting, and I look forward to seeing you there again, Phil. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer, here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.